If your impressions are down, but your page views are up, it could be just because people really aren't searching as much as they were a month ago. But because I've done a good title and I've done good on it, they're clicking them. They're coming in and looking at the page. And that's what you care about.
I'm Audrey.
I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 175. And as you just heard, joining us on the desk this week, our good friend Audrey Tracy. Welcome back, Audrey.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
Rebecca couldn't make it this week. I'm so happy you were able to fill in.
Happy to fill in.
What have you been up to? I haven't seen you in a while.
Seller marketing. I've been doing a lot of seller marketing.
I know we have an announcement from you on a topic of interest to some sellers we'll be putting in next week.
Ooh.
I think I just made a sale.
I think you
forgot
just sold
to shut
something.
Off my phone. Let me be. Yeah, I just sold something. I better shut this off.
I don't want to brag, but
just sold something.
Very nice.
Yeah,
we have some exciting news coming out next week about trading cards.
Oh, great.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
We'll leave them hanging, so to speak.
I kind of wish I got into trading cards back in the 80s.
They have become a very interesting alternative asset, if that is a familiar term. People are investing in trading cards like crazy and making money, like the stock market, kind of investing in that same way. I mean, some people are collecting them for their own personal joy and collection, but a lot of people are collecting trading cards as investments.
Yeah. You know, I'm not so sure I know what I feel about that.
I think it's really interesting that a bunch of assets, for lack of a better term, that we didn't consider investments are now investments. NFTs, trading cards. Even I read an article about handbags. If you sell Louis Vuitton handbags right now, they're super scarce due to supply chain issues.
Oh.
So people can't get new ones. So they're going to the secondary market and the prices on the secondary market is going up.
Yeah.
Hot tip for you,
well, I think
Louis Vuitton sellers.
Yeah, but is it a little late now? I mean, the market's probably super hot right now. It's even doubly hard to find them.
Yes. And if you can find them, they're scarce and the prices are going up and they're increasing in value. And some people are treating them like an investment.
Hmm. I guess I do this with colognes and fragrances. I look for colognes that are going to go out of production. I put my finger to the wind and try to find out which ones are going to go. And then I'll invest in a bunch of them and stock them away in a safe place. And it's usually worked out pretty well. There's been some times I should have been paying attention and I missed a whole market and I just want to kick myself, but there it is.
The one that got away.
The one that got away. But I, if I was really interested in making more money, I guess I would have spread out that investment strategy with objects to a wider group of categories like trading cards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just never been inspired by trading cards. I'm sorry.
They're a huge part of our business.
I know. And I shouldn't admit this on the podcast, but I just, more power to everyone who's passionate and loves them. I just wish I could, you know, I'm not a sports person.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it.
That's okay. It's not your bag.
It's not my bag. Is it your bag?
No, God, no.
What is your bag anyway? Fashion. You love fashion.
Fashion and interiors.
Yeah, I can tell both. Well, I know because I've been to your house and interiors is important to you, but fashion, you're known as a fashion plate here at eBay.
You got to bring it.
You got to bring it, exactly.
When I first arrived at eBay, I was like, oh, everybody wears nice clothes. I better dial up my game.
Yeah, when was that? What year was that?
2013.
Wait a minute. I don't remember you looking frumpy in 2013. I thought you looked pretty good.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
But I was reading the room and I thought, I gotta level up on my fashion here.
Yeah, but I can tell you right now, I think you've outpaced the room.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You're very gracious.
I think that you're, you know, it's runway here when you walk in.
Please.
Hey, and Audrey, I know this is a tricky subject because like for all of January, there hasn't been any news. Do you happen to have any news for us?
Well, I do have one item. For all sellers who were impacted last week by the severe weather due to Winter Storm Izzy, eBay is providing you, as usual, with additional support and protections. To learn more, visit the seller news announcement at ebay.com/announcements.
I didn't know that storm was that big.
I didn't either, but if you were impacted, we are protecting you.
Yeah,
so that's good news.
I took a look. They're the standard protections, you know, like late shipping delays, negative feedback for shipping delays, and all those other things. I think we live in California, and, you know, if it drizzles, it's like major storm
warning. Oh, we can't drive.
Yeah, right.
all of a sudden nobody can drive because it's three drops of water hit the freeway.
Yeah. Well, you're from California, so.
Oh, guilty as charged.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you're with us this week, and I hope you'll stick around. We have some interesting questions, and I'm hoping you'll help answer them after our guest.
It would be my pleasure.
Great. So we'll talk to you then. In the meantime, let's meet our guest this week. What would you do if you got in your car and went to start it up, only to find that the entire dashboard was covered with black duct tape? Would you just ignore it and drive away? Of course not. To do so would be taking on an enormous amount of risk. You couldn't see the speedometer, you couldn't see the engine light, the oil light, you have no idea how fast you're going. Well, driving a business is the same way. And yet too many sellers operate their business on eBay completely ignoring their traffic dashboard, as if it had black tape all over it. And that is tantamount to willingly taking on risk. And on the podcast in the next several episodes, we're all about lowering the risk of doing business. And here to help us understand why we should be paying daily attention to our selling traffic dashboard is eBay seller and coach Kathy Terrell of I Love to Be Selling. Welcome back to the podcast, Kathy.
Thank you, Griff.
I hope you liked my analogy with the car.
It's great. And it is a good analogy because you know what happens, Griff? Sellers will contact me. I'm sure they contact you. And the sales are coming. The sales are cha-chinging. Everything's going along fine. Everybody's happy. And you tend not to hear from people then unless they're letting you know, like, hey, Kathy, my sales are up. When people tend to get a hold of you is when their sales are down, when things have stalled. And there may be things that sellers typically do to sort of bump things back up again, like people with a store might run a sale. But if you try that or if you try things that you typically try and you're not getting results, it gets very frustrating because you're not sure what's going on. And sadly, sometimes you'll listen to people, I call them the sky is falling types, where they're like, oh, eBay, oh, you know, my sales are so slow. Everybody's sales are so slow. And that's not true because eBay is a for-profit corporation. And all I know is that eBay is selling something every second of every day, or eBay would not be in business. So then for me as a seller is to find out how can I get my hands on that so that I'm getting regular sales. And then also from the inventory that I'm carrying, what can I do to get the sales going? And that's what the traffic report is so useful for.
Where can we find the traffic dashboard?
Where you find it is you go to your seller hub. You're going to hover your mouse over the tab performance. And what you're looking for is traffic. Because if your sales are down, you want to take a look at, am I getting eyeballs? Am I getting people to my items? Are my items showing in eBay search? Because if I'm not surfacing, if I'm not getting eyeballs, I'm going to have a hard time selling my items. So that's why you're coming over to your traffic report. So here at eBay, what's great is eBay's giving me my traffic information so I can see what's going on with my listings. And when you land on your traffic report, you'll see it for the past 30 days, and it is customizable. So you can pick the time period that you want to look at. The big numbers you want to look at are your impressions and page views. If you're not aware of this on eBay, there are these cute little blue buttons. It looks like a blue eye, and it'll say impressions, and then you'll see this little blue eye, page views, little blue eye. So if you don't know what an impression is, and if you hover your mouse on the little blue eye, eBay tells you. Impressions, the total of all impressions, including organic impressions and impressions via promoted listings. So this top number, they're lumping the two together during the time period. An impression counts when a link to your listing appears on eBay and the buyer is one click away from your listing. So what that means is they're seeing it, but they're not actually on your listing. They have not clicked through to look at your listing. Griff, I'm going to use you. So let's say for men's shirts. So they see Griff's shirt in the flow or at a location around eBay, but they have not clicked to look at the specific listing. Question one is, how are your impressions doing? Are you up? Are you down? And let's say you're down. You're down by 5 or 10%. Number one, did you have a hot item the previous month or two? The other thing is that you might have gotten a lot of impressions because you were selling some items last month that had really juicy keywords, like a word, and a keyword would be a word that would be used in search, like Disney, like Nike or Adidas. And even if you're unique, one of a kind, think about it. Maybe you had some Hallmark ornaments. Maybe you had a Disney toy. And even if that item didn't sell, that's a big, juicy keyword that shows in a lot of searches. That could generate a lot of impressions. If somebody's searching Disney toy and you have a Disney toy, even though it didn't sell, it's going to get impressions because the shopper on eBay is looking for a Disney item.
What should I think if I look at this data and I see impressions, and for one or two or more items, the impressions are really low, like maybe in the single digits? Is that telling me something?
That's a good one. So for that data, so if people are listening, they're going, Griff, Kathy, how am I finding about the impressions on my item? If you look at the bottom of your traffic report, okay, so just scroll down, and I'm on a desktop, so go all the way down, you're going to see your listings. And on those listings, you're going to see a number for impressions. If you've got a listing that's really low, like five,
yeah,
a couple of things. One, is it very unusual? Like, I sell some very unusual New York City collectibles for Broadway shows. The impressions might be really low because it's really unusual. It's not a Disney plush. It's not an Adidas sneaker. It's a very unusual, unique item from a show. I'm not so worried about low impressions because I know I wrote a really good listing because I did my homework and I looked up all the stars that were in the show and I looked up the title of the show and I looked up the playwright and all of that. And for you, if it's a collectible, you looked up the period, you know what period it is, you know what style of glass it is, the whole thing. Your impressions might be low, but you will get the impressions from your ideal shopper. It only takes one click from one shopper to get the sale. But you want to get that click from the right shopper. So I want the click from Griff, who loves unusual collectible Broadway items, and who, when he sees it, realizes how unique and wonderful the vase or the glass is from the Broadway show that only lasted for 3 days.
It's a program from Moose Murders.
Right, right. And he buys it, right?
It makes us killing.
But as long as you have done your job to optimize it, and there's a ton of eBay for Business podcasts on that, which is you've written a really good title, you've got good pictures, you have filled in your item specifics the best you can in your description, then you're good to go. Because what you're looking for is that one customer who's going to click and buy it. Now, if you're selling Disney plush and it's not so unusual, like there's maybe 20 or 30 or 100 of them on, and your impressions are low. Again, you're scrolling to the bottom of your traffic page. You're looking at your item. You've got your Disney plush, and it's gotten like five clicks, and there's like 50 of these Disney plush on eBay. It's like, why is mine not getting clicks? Then you go and look at the other Disney plush. If you are $30 more than everybody else, and yours is basically the same condition as everybody else, there's a good likelihood that the one that's $30 less is going to sell.
And we should make a distinction here that you're talking now about clicks, click-throughs.
Yes.
Because there's those two aspects of it. There's the impression, which is your item shows up in a list. Once somebody sees it and clicks, that's one step closer to the buy button.
The other thing is that if there's 30, 40, 50 of the same item up, and their listing is a better quality listing, which is they've used better keywords in their title, perhaps their pictures are better, they have filled in more of the item specifics, like perhaps there is a barcode for this item. Perhaps they've put in the colors. You know, there's a bunch of different item specifics that go for the listing. If they have fully filled that in and you have not, or you've only used one or two, yes, they will get more impressions than you.
Well, you mean more click-throughs?
No, they'll actually get more impressions. Their item will be shown to more shoppers. Because it's more desirable.
Right.
eBay's going to show it off more. A great way to know, and your best way to do this, by the way, is incognito search, is to not search as yourself. So you're going to want to sign out of your account. Search on eBay incognito or just sign out of your eBay. But incognito is best so that eBay doesn't have all the data about what you typically like. Search your item, search the Disney plush, and search best match. And see what eBay is surfacing as the best match for that item. Whatever that is, there's a reason for it, which is it's gotten more clicks. It's more fully filled out. Perhaps they're a top-rated seller. Perhaps they're doing free returns. If you go and look at the listing, you can usually analyze why it's surfacing as best match. Like if there's 20 items that are all pretty comparable as far as quality of listing and quality of seller. eBay will rotate which ones they're surfacing, but it'll give you an idea of why their surfacing is best match and you're not. And also means that that item's getting impressions that yours aren't. But the big thing usually with low impressions is there's something off with the listing, which is I'm not giving eBay enough information that it knows what it is.
Yeah, and I can think of an example I just saw. I'm filling out my Timex watch collection, buying old Timexes from 30, 40 years ago. And there was one, and I haven't bought it yet, but it shows up in the list when I search, and it just says, this is the title, watch. Nothing else.
Oh
my
goodness.
The photo is taken so far away that you really can't see what it is. The poor seller, they've relisted it over and over and over, and they've not changed anything about it. It's not selling. And I'm so tempted to email, message
the seller. To message them.
But you know, every time I've done in the past, you know about no good deed goes unpunished.
They'll come back at you.
They usually come back and say, stop telling me what to do. I didn't ask you. You know, so I don't give unsolicited advice, but I feel bad for that seller.
But the big thing with the traffic report is, look, if your impressions are down and you're listing things that are pretty mainstream, again, if you are listing very unique collectibles, you know, they're very unique, they're very unusual, your impressions might be down because people just are not searching for those items, because typically for those items, you're going to get more collectors. So your items might bump up, let's say Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. You know, that's when you're going to see a bump up. But if you're a soup to nuts seller, if your things are more moderate priced, if your things where your impressions should be up, if you notice your impressions are down, then go and look at your page views, because your impressions could be down, which is I'm not surfacing so much in eBay search. But if your impressions are down, but your page views are up, you're okay. Because it means, okay, I'm not showing in as many places for, it could be just because people really aren't searching as much as they were a month ago. But because I've done a good title and I've done good on it, they're clicking them. They're coming in and looking at the page. And that's what you care about.
They're coming in and looking at the page, but the item still hasn't sold. What do I deduce from that?
So that's the good one. So we've looked at impressions and I am getting page views, but it's not selling. Then you go and look at Terapeak, or you can just do advanced search and click sold. Take a look at search. Because what can happen is that when you listed your flannel, red plaid, men's large L.L. Bean shirt, because of what you've done, that you were right up there at the top. Okay, you were priced competitively. Maybe you had best offer on it. You were offering international shipping. But then you go and click sold. And what happened was somebody, and I actually worked with a seller where this had happened on a woman's dress. Somebody put in the exact same dress, and it was a good listing, for like $10 less. It was the same dress. It was the same size.
Yeah.
Seller one had her listing up for several months, so she had done her research, but somebody came in after her and really undercut her. I mean, it wasn't like a couple of bucks. And it sold. If you're seeing things are selling for a little less than what you typically like to take, consider putting best offer on. Let's say it's an $80 item, and let's say they're offering you $65. Maybe you only paid $5 for it, right? If I only paid $5 for it, they're offering me $65. I would have liked more like $70, so I'm making $5 less, but I only paid $5 for it. Take the money.
Yes. The best time to make a sale is when somebody is waving dollars in front of your face.
Take it. Particularly if the listing's been up, I just had this happen to me. If it's been up for years, I had one up for 3 years. I was like, will somebody please take this item? It was a little low, but I still made a profit. Not a lot, but I still made a little bit of a profit. But it got sold. I got cash in my pocket. And if you get a sale, then all of a sudden you notice the sales sometimes will come in spurts. It's because you have a sale. This is particularly true with eBay stores. Because they'll come in on the women's dress, and then they'll look at your other dresses. They'll come in on the Disney plush. They'll look at your other toys. You know, the one thing sells, they buy it, and then they take a look at what else you have in your store. So absolutely always go for that sale, even if it's a little bit low. If you're getting page views and you're not getting sales, go and look at the solds and really put your listing under the microscope.
Yeah, that's important information. I'm looking at some of my data while we're talking here, and it's interesting because if you change the period of time, you can notice different figures in the top bar. And I think it gives you a good idea of when you were most active for all three of the metrics. And the three of them, we talked about impressions and page views, but there's also sold. And for items where you have multiple quantities, there's conversion rate.
And look at that data at the bottom so you can see which of your items are little hot numbers that are just getting an awful lot of impressions, because it lets you know what shoppers want. It lets you know what they're looking for, which can help you in sourcing, whether you're sourcing at a thrift store or a consignment store or online arbitrage or wholesale. The information from the traffic report is useful no matter how you're sourcing to sell on eBay, including looking at bad listings.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that you pointed out the little letter I, the little blue letter I. It's right there. Just hover over it. Wherever you see those on eBay, it's really good to hover over them so you get an idea of what you're looking at.
And if you look at the banner that says page views, it shows you external site views. And I want to emphasize that it's dark blue. So organic is like a medium blue. External is a dark blue, like a navy blue. External views are search engines and social media. So the great thing with having a lot of dark blue means that the social media that you're doing, whether you're doing Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest, is driving traffic. We don't have data right now. I'm sure we will at some point, but we don't have data right now letting us know it came from Facebook or it came from Google or it came from Pinterest.
Outside of eBay.
Right. They found you outside of eBay, clicked it, and came to eBay. And I love eBay, but let me tell you, if you want to bump your sales up, if you are having slow sales and you're looking to be proactive, do social media, because social media is, it's something you can do whether you're part-time or full-time. It's something you can do if you have 10 minutes a week or an hour a week. Pick the site that you like, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook. I've got tips if you go on my website, ilovetobeselling.com. Look for the essential social media cheat sheet. I break it down for you because you can drive your own traffic.
Very good information. I would remind everyone, too, that when it comes to social media, to Kathy's point, we have three episodes as well that we did in the fall, episode 158, 159, and 160, which is a three-part series on planning, instituting, and then tracking your social campaign. Give a listen to those if you haven't in the past. Kathy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming by.
You're welcome.
Kathy Terrell, she's a seller and a coach. She coaches a lot of new sellers and experienced sellers through her webpage, ilovetobeselling.com. We'll put a link to that page in our transcript for episode 175.
You got questions?
We got answers. Before we begin, though, I want to make sure to thank everyone who helped save this podcast by sending in and calling in their questions.
No, brother.
What?
I thought you were going to stop with send us questions or we shoot this podcast sort of thing.
I did. Doesn't mean I shouldn't thank those that answered the alarm, however false it may have been.
Whatever blackmail was involved.
Whatever bribe I perpetrated on the site. Hey, why don't you read the first question we got?
Certainly. Let's see. eBay seller Joseph emailed this to podcast@ebay.com. Hello, eBay for Business podcast team. I'm hoping you would be willing to answer this question for me on your podcast, as I am still new to eBay and I have much more to learn. I am wondering at what point it is beneficial for a top-rated seller to get at least the starter store on eBay. I ask this question because I'm one of those sellers that only has about 50 to 75 listings at a time, but I have a large quantity of each item. Mm. So I currently do not see any benefit in getting any additional listings with the starter store. Are there any benefits that having a starter store may provide for me at this time? Thank you for your entertaining and informative content. I hope to hear from you guys soon. Respectfully, Joseph.
And coincidentally, as it turns out, another seller, eBay seller Joe Millie, and I think that's like, you know, the two names, the husband and wife with the name.
I think it's Bennifer.
I think it's John and Emily. I think he gave it away.
Oh, clever.
But that's their user ID, Joe Millie. She emailed something very similar. She said, hello to you, Griff, and to everyone who makes this podcast so enjoyable and helpful. I'll admit I've been trying to come up with a question for a while because I would really like to get one of those mugs if somehow you still have them. We have a warehouse filled with them. Don't worry about it. However, I have actually thought of a great question that benefits me personally, even if it doesn't get me a mug. It'll get you a mug. You just have to send me your address, by the way, you didn't. I do not currently have an eBay store, but as my 90-day total has risen above 2,000, it's got me thinking, what are the benefits of creating a store? Thank you again for all the applicable information and advice you offer each week, eBay seller Joe Millie.
All right, two emails and one question.
Right, that's what we got there.
It's kind of like you're killing two birds with one stone here.
And I'm killing them hard, too. We get this question a lot, in fact. It gives us the chance to promote the Seller Center pages for eBay stores. Joseph and Joe Millie, there may be a financial benefit for each of you in either a starter or a basic store subscription, especially since for the basic store subscription, there are final value fee discounts for that level.
And the savings on final value fees could more than offset the subscription cost.
Yeah, that's true. However, you know, without a closer and more detailed analysis of your business, it would be impossible to make a specific recommendation for either of you. Ultimately, though, it is up to each seller to decide which, if any, store level would be right for them.
But to help sellers like you make an informed decision, there is a page on the Seller Center which lays out all the benefits for each store level. Just go to Seller Center, then Run Your Store, and then finally Store Subscription and Benefits.
Yeah, and for the easily fatigued by typing in URLs, we'll put a link in the transcript because it's a long one. But it's easy to get there.
And don't forget, there is another benefit. If you have an eBay basic or above subscription, you get free eBay branded shipping supplies.
Mm.
So there's a cost savings right there.
Yeah. And that reminds me, I have my code for this quarter. I haven't redeemed it yet. And I need some more supplies. So I got to get in there and use my code for free shipping supplies. It renews every quarter. You can get a new set of supplies.
May I make a quick plug?
Sure.
For eBay shipping supplies?
Yeah, please.
If you are in categories like collectibles, trading cards, stamps, postcards, I would really encourage you to use eBay standard envelope within the shipping supplies store right now. They have the envelopes for eBay standard envelope.
Oh, I didn't see those before. That's
great
news.
So I would really encourage you to use those. And of course, the benefits of eBay standard envelope are cheaper than a priority, but you still get the tracking.
Right.
And they tend to be less than a dollar.
Yeah, cheaper than first class package too.
Sorry, you're right. I meant first class when I said priority, but both.
Yeah, but both. Oh, that's a great point. I have to go look at those. I don't currently sell in those categories, but I know that the plan is to expand access to eBay standard envelope to more categories in the future.
I believe so.
And I have ephemera that I'd probably list, like autographed letters and stuff.
That would probably work.
Oh,
so
good.
Just a cheap plug, go Google eBay standard envelope.
Yeah. Or you can go to the Seller Center and the shipping tab. There's a whole page. You can find it there too.
Exactly.
What about our next question?
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Our next question comes from eBay seller Lori, who emailed the following. Hello, love the show.
Oh, good.
L-U-V. Love it. How do I access Seller Hub from my phone? I used to go into my mail and go through my payouts, top right corner of the page after I clicked on payouts, but now that link just takes me back to my messages. How can I easily access my hub from the app, and when will eBay add an access tab? Thank you for your help.
Right. And she gave me her shipping address, which I won't read on the air because of privacy concerns.
Oh, come on.
We will send you a mug in our next batch, Lori. Lori, I don't know when, if ever, eBay will add Seller Hub functionality to the mobile app. The Seller Hub is really, really huge, and it would be an enormous project to kind of rebuild that so that it works inside the app. It could happen, but I know there's no immediate plans that I know of to do that. In the meantime, you actually can access Seller Hub from any mobile web browser like Chrome or Safari, and I don't know, Opera, I guess, if you're still using that. For iPhones, all you have to do is open a mobile web browser, either Chrome or Safari, type in www.ebay.com, and when you get to that first page, from the upper right-hand corner, what we call hamburger icon, and that's those little lines, vertical lines, it's supposed to be like a hamburger.
We call weird stuff in
I'm going to call
in
it.
Tech.
I'm going to rename it. When you see that club sandwich icon, the vertical lines, click it and then select sell. This will open up the Seller Hub page in your browser. And you can actually navigate between all the tabs, do anything you need to do there. For Android phones, it's a slightly different process. You have to open a mobile web browser, but then you have to type in the following, ebay.com/sh/OVW. That will take you directly to Seller Hub.
I don't want to be a braggart here, but I have an even easier URL.
Really? What is it?
ebay.com/sellerhub.
Oh, it goes there too?
Well, at least on iPhone.
Yeah. I gave up on Android, you know.
Yeah, but I bookmark ebay.com/sellerhub because then I can just go directly into SellerHub and forget the homepage.
Yeah. And you can, if you're set up for like printing, you can print from there. You can download reports from there. You can, all of the functionality that you use in your active listings page when you want to change things like price in line, it all works. Bookmark that URL or both of them, whichever one works in your mobile browser, and you'll have faster future access right to that page.
There we go.
And Lori, you can use the same URL on an iPhone, by the way, that ebay.com/sh/OVW. Or as Audrey has just informed us, you can also go ebay.com/sellerhub. And I put all of those URLs in the transcript for episode 175 for those who are URL fatigued.
Yes, it's easy to get fatigued on a URL fatigued on
all that clicking.
We actually have a third question.
Yes.
How exciting.
Yeah.
I guess that threat really paid off.
It did. And okay. I may resort to it again.
Yeah. So, yeah. Keep that in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next email to podcast@ebay.com was sent by seller Donna of Donna's Bits and Bobs. Hi, Griff. Every once in a while, my shipping label doesn't print right and I have to print it again. I remember someone saying that if you print another of the same, you won't be charged twice for the label. Now, in looking over my recent sales, I see that I printed a duplicate label twice and there is a message that I have so many days to void the first label. I'm confused. I was under the impression that you would only be charged once for the label that actually got used. Can you clear that up for me? Thanks. Love the podcast, Donna of Donna's Bits and Bobs.
Well, thank you, Donna. There are two options, Donna, for a shipping label after you have purchased and printed it the first time. Within 24 hours of that initial purchase, you can select reprint anytime during those 24 hours for that particular label, and you won't be charged extra. The reprinted label will have the same tracking number, right? So it's a duplicate label. You're just reprinting it out. That's intended for those circumstances. You print a label and your printer screwed up. You get to go back and you can reprint it. If you don't see it immediately, you can find it in the orders page, shipping labels on the left-hand side navigation, and it will show you a list on that page for shipping labels of all the labels that you've purchased in the recent few weeks. They'll be in chronological order, so the most recent ones are on top. But after 24 hours, that reprint option disappears. And you'd have to select the other option, which is print another label. And I suspect that's what you did, which will purchase a new label with a new tracking number. If that's what you intend to do, then you need to void the first label. And you can only do that within 5 days of its purchase. That's why the alert showed up, say, hey, you got to void this label if you want to get a refund for it.
Another thing to keep in mind, Donna, if you choose to reprint within 24 hours, that doesn't reset the shipping time clock.
Yeah.
For example, if you have one day handling and you print the label on, say, Wednesday at 3 p.m., reprinting it on Thursday won't give you an extra day to ship.
Yeah, that's really important.
Handling time is different from label time.
Exactly.
It sounds like.
It is. And if you choose the print another label option, that actually restarts the entire clock, the on-time shipping metric clock for that transaction. Say you've printed a label and you've actually shipped the item and then you want to send them something else and you choose print another label, what that's going to do is for that transaction, it's going to reset it. So it's going to show you didn't ship until 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days later. And that can impact your metric for on-time shipping. So keep that in mind as well.
Yep. So the advice here is to submit those void requests ASAP.
Exactly.
As for when you are charged a shipping label, you are charged immediately for all USPS labels.
Yes.
UPS and FedEx labels are only charged when they are used, and that is when they're scanned by UPS or FedEx.
Yeah, I think that Donna may misunderstood and thought that was the case for all labels. So you don't actually get charged until they're used, and used meaning they were scanned at some point. But that's only true for UPS or FedEx. Well, Donna, I hope this helps. Oh, and finally, we end this week's You Got Questions segment with a call-in.
Hello, this is Anthony Draper, and I've been on the eBay platform since 1998, and my eBay seller name is JStars. For about the past 12 years, I have planned a trip to walk the Appalachian Trail. I live here in Virginia, and obviously the trail goes from Georgia to Maine, and it's going to take me 5 to 6 months to walk the trail. The away feature only allows you to really shut your eBay store down for about 14 to 15 days. I don't want to close my eBay store. if it were my choice, I would leave it open and have someone to operate my business for me so that my trip is paid for when I get back. But I would like to be able to have the freedom to keep my eBay store active, alive and well, as it has been for over 20 years. But I want to be able to take a nice long vacation. So how would it be possible for me to put my eBay store on hiatus for an extended period of time, let's say 5 or 6 months? Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony. Great question. And best of luck with your upcoming hike. I've always wanted to do a big trip like that.
Really? You wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail?
No. I changed the script. My big trip is like a month in Hawaii, but to each their own.
A month in Hawaii. Yeah, that's a real hike.
Yeah. Well, to the bar and back and the pool and back.
Tiny bubbles. I can see it now.
Exactly.
Anthony, unfortunately, there isn't an eBay feature that provides for suspending an eBay store for the time length that you asked for. And as you mentioned, the time away feature only provides for, I think it's 2 weeks maximum for putting your store to sleep, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything beyond that doesn't exist on eBay, no.
I think you should really look into getting an assistant.
I mean, I understand the need to, you know, follow your dreams and you want to tick that one thing off your bucket list, hike the Appalachian Trail. But I really would look into hiring an assistant, quickly training somebody. Mm-hmm. If you've got a family or friend, a family member or friend, and maybe Anthony doesn't, but maybe making assumptions.
He might also just be able to hire somebody to ship. In other words, if he front loads a bunch of listings onto eBay before he leaves,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could just pay somebody to pick, pack, and ship, and that therefore you wouldn't have to worry about. I think teaching people how to list is harder than teaching people how to ship.
He does have I checked his listings. He does have a lot of things up there. So the other option, and I didn't really, I thought I knew about this, but I found out I had to research because I was making some assumptions. I talked to somebody at a third-party software company mm-hmm. this week to make sure that I had the right information. And the software company is 6-Bit Software, run by John Slocum, who used to work for eBay years ago. And he's created this listing management software called 6-Bit. It's been around forever. People love it. It's multi-platform. And I asked John's support team whether or not a situation like Anthony's, they could handle it, where he could export his listings up to 6-Bit and they would be there as data that 5 or 6 months later, he could then import back into his eBay listings. So that's one opportunity. That would save him all the work. You'd have to get a 6-Bit account.
Right.
It's a monthly subscription. There are instructions on the site about how to export all of your eBay listings to 6-Bit. They actually do save all of your images. I double-checked with that.
Good to know.
Then when you're back from hiking and you've recovered and you can move those listings back to eBay. That's something that you could do.
Okay. Just to make sure I'm understanding, he would take all of his listings.
Yes.
Upload them to 6-Bit.
Yes.
Then delete them all off of eBay.
Yeah. You'd end all the listings on eBay.
Then do your hike.
Yeah.
Come back 6 months later and use 6-Bit to then put all your listings back on eBay.
That's it. And we'll put the link to the 6-Bit website in the episode 175 transcript.
Okay. I hope you have a lovely trip, Anthony, and you get everything out of it that you wanted.
It's beautiful. I know people who've actually hiked the trail all the way from, I believe it starts either in Georgia or around there, all the way to Maine. And it took some time, but they loved it. They said it was a life-changing experience.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Those people who actually made it through alive have said it's a life-changing experience. So.
Okay, so there they are. Your questions and our answers for this week.
Yeah.
Do you have a question about selling on eBay? Why not send it to us here at the eBay for Business podcast, just like Anthony did? Call us at 888-723-4630.
Let me repeat that. 888-723-4630. Call that hotline any time of the day. Leave a question or comment. And if it's appropriate and doesn't contain a lot of profanities, we just might put it on the air.
And if it only has a few profanities, we'll bleep them out.
We'll try our best.
And if you're not a call on the phone person like I am, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. Again, that's podcast@ebay.com.
And remember, we love your questions regardless of how you send them in. Now it's time for your daily podcast to-do list.
Okay, number one, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news. Even if the current news cycle is a slow one, that could change.
It could. And it will in February. I guarantee it. Take Kathy Terrell's advice. This is number two. And start visiting your traffic page and seller hub every day.
Tip number three. Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we're referencing during this episode.
On our next episode, we'll have more risk management advice and, I already have some of them in the queue, more answers to your pressing questions.
Very nice. Thank you for the questions. And we'd like to thank again our guest this week, Kathy Terrell of ilovetobeselling.com.
Audrey, before you go, is there anything you'd like to say to our audience?
I have a little bit of personal news. I'm leaving eBay. I know. An amazing opportunity has dropped into my lap to go do something that I've wanted to do for 30 years. So I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go chase my dream. I will always love eBay. I will always love the people that work here and the community around eBay and the seller community that I have come to know and love. But I think it's time for me to go do my thing.
I'm rooting for you. I think it's important to follow your dream. And even though selfishly, I would love it if you stayed, because I'll miss you terribly and we'll miss you on the podcast too. I understand following your dream and we'll be following your progress. And if I need somebody for interior design, I know who I'll call.
Now I really got to succeed here. Pressure's on.
Pressure's always on. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. That was pretty good. You didn't shed a tear or anything.
No.
I like it. Cold. It's good.
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold-hearted.